It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scotland kick off a new qualification campaign. It's Cyprus at Hampden. First up, Stevie Clark's side look to get the group up and running with a win. There is a playoff place already in the bag, but getting through via the traditional route remains the priority. It's a new era in goal. Is this the start of the road to a second successive Euros? I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me in the studio is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
A big day ahead for a new campaign, new contract for the Scotland manager, new goalkeeper. It's a big one to... Hang on, where are you? Change mics. I'm back. You didn't miss anything.
What were you saying there?
Nothing. I was saying it was a big day ahead. New contract for the new manager, new goalkeeper, making his first start for Scotland in a new campaign. What's not to look forward to today? I think we've got enough on the side to get the job done today. Probably bigger games ahead, but it's important we get a good start.
Yeah, big few days coming up, two home games. It's really important we go off to a positive start. I'm with Mark. I've seen the team. I'm very happy with the side. I think it's very attacking formation as well. Looking forward to goals.
Yes, absolutely. A 2 o'clock kickoff, a nice novelty for us. I don't think we've had many, if any, Saturday afternoon qualifiers to look forward to in the last few years. A traditional slot in your footballing week. So sit yourself back, enjoy the build up. We'll take you through the action, and of course the chance for you to have your say on the phones as well. A massive game for Steve Clark, for Scotland, a new era, a new qualification campaign. How will this one pan out? It's always such an interesting time, sort of psychologically, Mark, when you start a campaign, because it's been quite a few months since the last competitive action. You know, international football goes on the back burner. But this is a sellout at Hampden today. All of these games are sold out pretty much already. That tells you that there is still something there. There is a feel good, if you like, off the back of a Euros, then getting to a World Cup playoff. Granted, that then didn't go to plan, but there still seems to be something there. It's a sold out Hampden this afternoon.
Well, I get Steve Clark still gets some criticism for not getting us to the World Cup finals. He got us to the Euros, obviously, but there is optimism from the fans, and I think you can see that, like you said, Gordon, from the amount that are going along to Hampden today against Cyprus, a team, like I said the other night, 110th in the world. Now, years gone by, I believe that that could have been a half empty stadium. People would have lost interest and not really cared about it, but I believe that the fans are behind the Scotland side. The majority are behind Steve Clark, and this can see that we've got a good squad, but you know, you need to get off to a good start to reinforce that belief and give the fans something to carry into Tuesday, which is obviously going to be a harder task. So I like a lot about Scotland at the minute. I like that the fans are there in their numbers, and I like the team or the squad of players that were assembled.
It's vital, Gordon, isn't it? Because it's all right saying it's a long campaign and a long way to go, but there comes an added pressure. Some people say it's a good thing. You know, you get the lowest seed in your group at home first up. That's ideal for a lot of people, but of course it also brings its own pressure. You simply have to get this group up and running today.
Yeah, because I imagine, and like us guys in the studio, I imagine every supporter going along there to Hampden today will be looking at the 3 points. Of course they will. You know, we had callers on this week, Gordon, talking about we should have plenty of goals. I'm by that. My thing today is get off to a good start, 3 points, a good performance, icing on the cake. Good amount of goals, brilliant. But the most important thing for us going into Spain on Tuesday is get the 3 points on the board this afternoon.
Yeah, and looking at today's game, I mean, we've played Cyprus 7 times. We've won 7 times. Most recent of those games, 2-1 a couple of times. So wasn't as far apart as some people thought. You have to go way, way back to we were beating them 5-0 and 8-0. I don't think it'll be like that today. I still think international football has changed over the last decade or a wee bit longer, that the teams are a lot closer. But as long as we keep a clean sheet, which gives belief to Angus Gunn in goals, and we get a few goals, that'll be enough to give us confidence going into next game.
Give us a shout if you're on your way to the game or you're ready to get into Hampden and enjoy it this afternoon. Please get in touch, and we'll mention as many of you as possible. Let's go to the National Stadium though and get team news, because all week long we've been debating it. Who's going to play? Who is going to be the new Scotland goalkeeper? Andrew McLean and Jim Duffy have the answers.
Yeah, the excitement of the beginning of a new qualification campaign. Cyprus to visit us today, with Spain, Norway and Georgia to come as well. Lots to look forward to, but a big crowd here will be expecting things to kick off with 3 points. That's the focus today, but the SFA have also been looking to the future. You mentioned that Steve Clarke signing a new deal yesterday to take him through to the end of 2026. If he sees that contract out, he'll become the third longest serving manager in Scotland history. He's had some big decisions to make today, Steve Clarke, with team news, and he has made plenty of changes from the game against Turkey. Some of the headlines: Angus Gunn comes straight in for his Scotland debut. There's also a start for Ryan Porteous, his second cap on his birthday as well. Aaron Hickey starts as the right wing back. There's no Lyndon Dykes up top. It's Shea Adams that leads the line. So I'll run through that starting 11. It's Angus Gunn in goal. The back three: Ryan Porteous, Grant Hanley and Kieran Tierney. It's Aaron Hickey and Andy Robertson that are the wing backs. Callum McGregor and Ryan Jack, the two central midfielders. John McGinn and Stuart Armstrong will be pushing forward to support Shea Adams. The substitutes for Scotland for this game: Kelly, Clark, Patterson, McTominay, Dykes, Christie, Higham, Gilmore, Cooper, Ferguson, Brown and McLean. It's an interesting lineup, Jim Duffy. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think there's any surprise that either Angus Gunn, I know the guys were debating it during the week, but I think when Stevie Clarke went to him and said, look, do you want to play for Scotland? I think, you know, he would have had to have said to him, listen, I'm going to play. You're not going to come and just make up the squad. So I think that, you know, whether he's you know, the permanent fixture would be another decision to make. But I certainly thought today he would definitely be playing. And also with Lyndon Dykes still not really maybe anywhere near his best, having that bout of pneumonia. So I think Shea Adams was obviously going to be the focal point as well. So, yeah, I mean, again, they've got the width with Hickey and Robertson. I think it's likely that Cyprus will play with one striker, so Porteous and Tierney, I think, will have that flexibility to push forward when they have the opportunity with the ball, and they're both very good with the ball. So that gives us kind of extra players into midfield. They can flood the midfield a little bit more. And really, as the guys were saying there, it's about getting the victory. Yeah, I think it will be a little bit tougher than most people expect. Scotland invariably don't make life too easy for themselves when it comes to these type of games, but I think if you look at that team, Andrew, they'll definitely get more than enough quality to be able to win this match.
We're hoping for an exciting game ahead. Kickoff is in 50 minutes time.
Yes, the only place to start is in goal. Mark Wilson, Gordon Dalziel, we've debated it all week, in fact a little bit longer. Now we've got the answer, and it's Angus Gunn. Are you surprised in any way? Is that the right call for you?
Yeah, I think I agree with what Jim says. I think if Steve Clarke going and chapping his door and saying, look, we want you to be part of a Scotland team, I think he's probably been guaranteed to say, right, you're not coming up to be the squad, we're going to give you the number one jersey and it's up to you to hold on to it. Yeah, I think looking, there was a case for all goalkeepers going, uncapped to three of them, but I think Steve Clarke looks at Gunn as the best option, and obviously in today, so it's a big day for him.
I mean, only time will tell if it's the right decision. I hope it is. I believe it might be the start of something special. Look, there's not much between all three, so he could have went for probably two of them, stood out more than Liam Kelly at this minute. But Steve Clarke, yeah, he's pursued Angus Gunn. He's realised it's a critical position that he needs more cover in, and that's why he's opted to go down south and cast the net far and wide. And I hope we've got a good one, because, like I said midweek, we have relied heavily on Craig Gordon and Marshall and McGregor for so many years. I know we've got good players in front of them, but we always seem to give up chances, and they've made big saves at crucial moments in games. You only have to look at the penalty shootout where David Marshall sends us to the Euros. You know, relied heavily on him, and it's going to be the same for one of these three, if not others, who come into the squad. So I hope it's the start of something special for Gunn. I don't know how much he'll get trouble today or how much we'll see him today, but you never know.
I hope you're right. Jim Duffy, it's going to be interesting going forward, because as we've mentioned, this was a proper clean slate. You've got three uncapped goalkeepers, so whoever it was that played today, say they had a slightly below par afternoon, that doesn't mean you then change it again surely on Tuesday, or change it again in the weeks that follow. Do you think Angus Gunn's going to at least get a run at this?
But I think he'll get the next today in Spain. I think he'll definitely get him the next couple of games. And I think you've got to do that with a goalkeeper, Gordon. You know, a goalkeeper can make an elementary error. Doesn't mean you just dismiss him because of that. I think it's more difficult, as I said, because you could also play in a game and literally have nothing to do. You know, which you hope is the case for Scotland today. But if you've got nothing to do, you do nothing wrong. But you know, you've not had wonder saves. You go to the other side of it. If the team doesn't play well, you're asked to perform. So yeah, it's a little bit of a tricky one, but listen, you know, if somebody asked me, I would have maybe have seen Xander Clark playing, because I think not just with Hearts this year, but I think previously with St Johnstone as well, I think he's been absolutely terrific over the last few seasons. He's had to wait the unfortunate injury to Craig Gordon to get his chance at Hearts. So I would have probably thought that he would have been in pole position. But listen, Stevie's went, as we said, he's looked at the situation. Obviously, everybody knows Brian Gunn, so we knew the player was available for Scotland for a number of years now. But, you know, obviously Stevie's convinced him that he thinks that you know, Scotland's the right choice for him now. And the player's probably looked at the bigger picture, and I don't think there's anything the matter with that. We have other players in the past that you know, have either decided to play for Scotland later on. I think Lyndon Dykes was one of them. I think initially he wasn't, you know, like, you know, certainly wasn't his first choice, you know, obviously being Australian, but he was convinced to come in and he's done very well. So I don't think we should hold that against him, that he took his time to make the decision. He is available, he's a number one today, and let's hope he goes and does himself justice.
It certainly looks on the face of it like it will be back to the back three, back five, call it what you will, Jim Duffy, which has been the constant source of debate under Stevie Clark's time. He certainly made it work. It was the formation that got us to our first major tournament in a long, long time. There were then times that didn't work thereafter. We actually came away from it in some of the last games. The most recent ones went back to a back four, and that seemed to work at times. What do you make of the decision to do so today?
Again, listen, it's all about your availability and obviously the, you know, what you think's the best you know, formation you have for the game ahead of you. It might be different against Spain because of the way they play, but obviously you know, the manager's looked at it and felt that this is the best formation with the players he has at his disposal to try and win this match. As I mentioned, with Kieran Tierney in the left and Ryan Portis in the right, Hanley in the middle. You know, you know, both of those players are more than comfortable breaking forward with the ball. And I think we'd like to think we'll have more of the ball, in which case is you want those players given that kind of extra impetus. We know that Tierney and Robertson have linked up at times on the left-hand side. Whether Portis does it with Hickey, we'll have to wait and see. And it allows Callum McGregor and Ryan Jack just to get themselves involved in the play and involved in the, maybe a little bit higher up the pitch. So yeah, I mean, listen, if we can do that and gives us more opportunities to get the ball in and around the Cypriot penalty box, then it's up to them to see whether we capitalise on the chances that come our way. But yeah, I don't have a problem with the three at the back, but I don't think, you know, I think initially it was quite rigid, but I think there's a bit more flexibility now, and I think there's also a bit more flexibility in Stevie's thinking. I don't think it's something that he'll guarantee will be the formation for the next game, and I think that's fair enough. I think it keeps everybody on their toes, and I think it keeps opposition guessing as well.
Yeah, because I mean, like Mark Wilson, actually some of the time that we've gone to that back four is because either Kieran Tierney or Andy Robertson hasn't been available. Yes, Kieran Tierney's played in a back four as the left centre back option. Some people are very clear on this. Some people think you just play a back four and you just leave one of them on the bench, right? Which is fine, and I'm not disagreeing, but it's perfectly reasonable to acknowledge that if you've got those two at your disposal, you're going to want to try and play them both.
Yeah, but not, I don't think at the expense of the full thing collapses upon itself, but it clearly doesn't. But Steve Clark's clearly found a way of doing it, and it's not been simple to do. I'm sure he would have had to have had conversations with both players, particularly Kieran Tierney, saying to him, are you comfortable in this position? Are you happy at left centre back in a three? Because again, people might think that it's the same as playing left back. It's clearly not. You know, you're much narrower at times. It is probably widely known that you probably are more conservative and you sit back and you just back up your wing back. Now, Tierney and Robertson have just found a totally different way of playing that role, and that's why it works so well. You've got two outstanding, some could say world-class left-sided defenders in our squad, it would be silly not to try and fit them in somewhere. And I think we fitted them in pretty well. I think Tierney and Robertson get good understanding, and with Hanley and Portis pace at the back, if there was a hole there, and with Jack and McGregor, plenty of filling.
Do you think that's fair, Gordon? Because as the guys have alluded to, on paper, if you like, or generally speaking, because I can see that, I can see replies here on social media, sort of, you know, back three, back five against Cyprus, that, you know, it's negative or whatever. But if one of those three is Kieran Tierney, actually it becomes something entirely different.
I think that's a very attacking lineup. I don't think it's negative. I think Jim makes a good point about the two centre backs on the right and the left, Portis and Tierney. They can step forward, they're comfortable getting into Midley Park. It's basically a 3-4-2-1. You know, Hickey and Robertson will play high up as the wide areas. I love the fact that Armstrong McGinn's in there. I think their timings of the run off Adams causes all sorts of problems. McGregor, Jack, control the middle of park. I think it's a very attacking outfit.
Yeah, I'll sort of work my way from the back forward, so we'll get to the rest of the issues now that we're done with the defensive formation. Jim Duffy, there are lots of different guys have come in at different times and actually done well. You look at Jack Hendry, perhaps in the last couple of games was one of the better performers. He had to pull out of this squad through injury. Even go back to the Denmark game, John Suter's played in there. Ryan Portis came in for his debut against Ukraine, kept the clean sheet, did ever so well, has moved to Watford since, and he keeps his place today. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, again, listen, Ryan Portis can divide opinion at times, I think, because we saw him with Hibernian, and at times he could have been, you know, his concentration could be questioned. But when he made his debut, he had an excellent debut for Scotland. He's obviously taken the opportunity to go down south, still find his feet a little bit at Watford, but Watford's a difficult club because they change the manager so often, and you know, it's maybe systems and that get changed as well. So he's maybe having to adapt to a new life, a new club, but getting back into the Scotland fold. Yeah, I've got no problem with Ryan Portis, you know, starting the game. I think he does have real qualities, particularly, as I said, on the ball. He's got that raking diagonal in his locker, you know, which, again, if you've got, like, Andy Robertson hugging that touchline high up the pitch, you know, it's maybe something that we can utilise. As I said, he is comfortable on the ball. And again, we'd like to think we should be, you know, in control of large parts of this game. I don't think you can take Eden for granted. I think Cyprus have got a new coach, and you know, they'll be looking to try and impress. I think if you look in, you know, the own league, I know there's players spread about. We know, obviously, everybody knows Alec Gogic, you know. But I think that they have a decent core of players without maybe having household names. So, I think that, for me, no problem with Ryan Portis stepping in there. Portis and Tierney, as Gordon has said, they're both very, very capable of breaking with the ball, utilising the ball, and in the way Stevie Clark wants to play. They want to build for the back, they want to play through the line, so you need players who are comfortable with the ball to do that, and those two are as comfortable as anybody.
Well, it's all building up at Hampden, as you can hear. 40 minutes to go, pretty much a sellout. In fact, I think it is there at the National Stadium for Scotland against Cyprus. We'll continue the build up next.
At Audi Columbus, luxury meets convenience. Family owned since 1897, we've built our reputation on trust, transparency, and innovation. Browse our selection online and complete your purchase from home. Then simply stop by to pick up your keys.
Drive home a new 2025 Audi Q5 for $559 for 39 months with $49.99 due at signing.
The next generation shops online. Experience the future with us at AudiColumbus.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/26.
Action as it happens. And your reaction from 5 on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Building up to kick off at Hampden, Scotland against Cyprus in the first of the latest batch of Euro qualifiers. It all starts here. There is, remember, a playoff place already in the bag due to the success in the Nations League, but it would be nice to go and do it through the traditional route as well, although there are a few formidable opponents down the line. A certain Spanish side come to Glasgow on Tuesday, and we can worry about Erling Haaland and the likes somewhere down the line. But today it is all about Cyprus. Andrew McLean has already given you the teams. If you're just joining us, the headline certainly is Angus Gunn will make his debut in goal. Lots been said about his call-up, and now he's in the starting 11. Other headlines, I guess, would include Tierney and Robertson both playing back to that sort of back three, back five scenario. It's Ryan Jack and Callum McGregor, so often rivals on the club front, but teaming up in the midfield today. And Shea Adams, the man who leads the line. I think even Jim Duffy, just something that we touched on at the top of the show, there's a story to be told here in the fact that it's Cyprus at Hampden, because as fate would have it, and football sometimes throws up these things, Stevie Clark's first game as Scotland manager was a home game against Cyprus. And in terms of lessons on the pitch that night, it was tight and it took a last minute Ollie Burke winner to get the victory. But there were also 20,000 empty seats that night, and I know it's not the only measurement of success, clearly not, but in the week that Stevie Clark signed a new deal, it maybe tells a bit of a story that is a sellout today.
Yeah, I think it was Andy Robertson, I think, to say there is a more of a connection now between the fans and the players. I think there has been improvement. Obviously qualifying for the last Euros was a big step, there's no doubt about that, and I think that certainly helped. There's no question, I think it's helped Stevie Clark get that new deal. You know, we're disappointed about the World Cup and not qualifying for that, but yeah, I mean, I think that there has been positive steps. I think if you look at the players in the squad now, we've got players playing in Italy, the Premier League, the Scottish, obviously the top levels. You know, we've got such an array of talent now that, you know, listen, there's always the one area which I think is, you know, disrespect to either Shea Adams or Lyndon Dykes, but we maybe don't have that real, you know, top quality striker. But in terms of just about every other area, you know, we're strong now, and I think that development under Stevie Clark has been crucial, and I think he's got the new deal now, so the players know there's going to be continuity there as well. They're going to be continuity in how the preparation is, the style of football, and as I said, then, you know, obviously he's got that flexibility now. I mean, in the Euros, if you think about it, just leading up to it, I mean, we were all waxing lyrical about Charlie Gilmer, and obviously he's the one now that Billy Gilmer, and we're looking at a player we thought was going to be our Spanish type of midfielder, if you want to call it that, and he's found himself still in the squad, but struggling for game time. So it just shows you, I think, that how far we've came when we're not looking as if we're missing that type of quality of player.
Yeah, how much does that situation then, if it's not Gilmore, maybe not the best example because he has been left out the team today, but if you look at Kieran Tierney, for instance, I think it's 4 English Premier League starts all season. Yeah. You look at Stuart Armstrong sort of in and out the Southampton, a struggling Southampton team. Scott McTominay's not playing for Man United currently, and so on. We could go. How much of a worry is that for you?
Yeah, there's always a slight worry, I think, just in terms of the tempo and the pace of the game and how they can last. But as I said, we've got a good depth of squad now, Gordon. And I also think, if you know, look at players that are playing for Arsenal, top of the league, Manchester United, top three, or whatever. So I mean, they're playing for top clubs. You know, I think at one time, you know, obviously back a couple of decades ago, we had several players playing at top level. But maybe for about a 20-year period, we struggled for players playing at a real top level in English football. But now we've got a sprinkling, obviously John McGinn as well, Aston Villa getting, you know, finding a bit more form again, you know, things like that. So yeah, I still think we're very strong, and I still think it's good to see, you know, players playing at that level. But you're right, I mean, there is obviously a little issue with not having regular game time. But I think that has been the case for a few Scotland players over the years, because just because of the way squads are now and the strength and depth that a lot of the clubs have.
I mean, Mark Wilson, I think it's fairly obvious that you would rather have a scenario that all of your players are playing regularly for their teams, they're playing well for their teams, and even more so, their teams are succeeding as well. That's your ideal world scenario. How far do you take it in terms of finding that balance? We had so many calls last night saying if you're not playing for your club, you shouldn't start for Scotland. I don't care if you're Kieran Tierney or you're whoever, you need to be playing regularly. I think, you know, Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller were quick to point out, okay, not ideal, but is Kieran Tierney still a better option than someone else? And Billy Gilmore hadn't been playing when he came in at Wembley and was man of the match, and so on. What's your feelings on the lack of game time that some of the squad members have been getting?
Well, obviously, it's regrettable that they aren't getting the game time that we would like them to get, but Jim's right, they are playing at top quality sides. I believe you play your best players, and I think guys like Kieran Tierney, who don't get a game regularly at his club, is better than any other option we've got there. And I think we're in a position just now that we can't turn our nose up to those sorts of players. McTominay doesn't play every week for Man United. I know he's on the bench today, but I'd expect him to come in probably on Tuesday night, probably, because he's a big game player. And that's the position we're in. So I believe that the quality of players should dictate for us rather than their game time they're getting for top class sides down south.
I don't know any manager or coach that would have the luxury of having these guys. Like you're mentioning Tierney. Yes, there's an argument here, not playing a lot of games. Every coach, every manager will go with Tierney today. There's no doubt. There's not got to be a problem. It's a squad game. You've got a lot on the bench. If he starts running out of steam 70-75 minutes, you're better with a 75 minute Kieran Tierney at his best than most of the players in that squad. And not being disrespectful, because he's a top player. So I've no problem. I think that's a good side that Steve Clark's picked today. I think there are bags of energy in this team.
I suppose the hope has to be, Jim Duffy, that actually, if there are guys who are having a tough time at club level, they find a home in the Scotland team, if you like. There are countless examples over the years. The one that always used to get mentioned was Alan Hutton. He was literally never playing for his club and would come in and do a good turn. There were even times when, you know, James McFadden would be like in and out at club level and then would be the main man for Scotland, the guy you would pin all your hopes on. So, I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, particularly when James went down to Everton. I mean, listen, you've got a similar scenario there with Harry Maguire playing for England and, you know, not playing really for Manchester United. So, you know, I mean, sometimes managers trust players. They know the players. They know the way they prepare. I mean, as I said, he's training at a top club. He's still involved in games. You know, his fitness is never in doubt. He's a terrifically fit boy, all these kind of things. And I think all of those players, whether it be Gilmour, whether it be McTominay, they're playing a real high intensity. They're training every day, you know. So, yeah, of course, in an ideal world, Ryan Christie, all these kind of guys, you want them playing, you know, week in, week out. But I still don't think that, you know, you just dismiss players if they haven't played, you know, 20 games before. Sometimes it actually can work in your favour because you're that delighted to be back playing again a regular game. You've actually got a spring in your step and that natural enthusiasm. But sometimes you can, if you've played too many games, you can be a wee bit lethargic. So, no, as Mark says, I think you've got a player like that with that kind of quality, then you get him on the pitch whenever you can.
Yeah, I suppose that's it, Mark. We said it's all about balance, finding a balance, because obviously we keep repeating it, you would much rather that they were all playing, but in Kieran Tierney's case, it's not like he's not getting a game for Sheffield United. It's Arsenal he's not getting a game for. He's not getting a game for the best team in England, and he's been kept out by one of the better players across Europe this season.
Of course.
So again, you're finding that balance. Do you leave out a guy that's a little bit short of the Arsenal team to replace him with someone who gets a game every week for Blackburn? You know, these are the decisions that Steve Clarke has to make.
I know, and it's terribly difficult, because that is a conundrum that the fans that called in the show want to see players playing every week, but Steve Clarke will be sure in his mind that the quality that he sees in training every single day when this squad meets up, he knows how good Kieran Tierney is, and it's a competitive edge that Kieran Tierney will get every day in training, coming up against these top class players, even if he isn't getting the game time, that will serve him fine for your national team. There's no doubt about it. And look, when you look at the relationship Tierney struck up with Robertson, I think that plays into it as well, that wouldn't have even come into Steve Clarke's mind to drop them. Mm-hmm. He understands that works, that fits. Robertson knows where Tierney is behind him and is comfortable from a defensive point of view, and also that kind of overlap in centre half, which is quite unique. We don't see many teams do that at this level. We've got something special in that case. So I don't think he would ever consider changing that.
I think if you flip it over and say, if he leaves out Tierney, right, I think he would come in for criticism, because people would say, we've got one of the best players going about in Kieran Tierney. Yes, the argument said he's not playing regular football, but he's a very, very terrific talent. And when you've got that talent, you've got to play them.
Yeah, I mean, Jim Duffy, it's also, I guess, to really state the obvious, you'll know fine well with your management hat on, at times there's an argument to say, okay, pick your best players. Who are your best 11 players? But then there's clearly times when you need to look at relationships and what ultimately creates the best team group collectively. he might not be getting a game for Man United, but I think it would be fair to say that on paper and to outsiders, you would maybe go for Scott McTominay rather than Ryan Jack. But Steve Clarke sees something different in that partnership, which we've seen before between Jack and McGregor.
Yeah, but I think you say the exact thing. There's partnerships. You know, you get players that combine and suit each other. I think Ryan Jack said that probably he really enjoys playing with Callum McGregor. They suit each other. And sometimes you get that balance. And, you know, I spoke to, you know, many top coaches over the years. And particularly I remember the late, great Walter Smith, and talking to him about, you know, team building and things like that. And it wasn't always the best player that he felt that he played. It was the balance of the team in terms of who he felt, you know, gave him a bit better balance and being successful as Walter. Then I think you know what you're talking about. So, you know, you've got these type of situations, as Martin that's saying there with Robertson and Tierney and things like that. They form partnerships, and they have, you know, Stevie's developed this kind of club spirit and club togetherness, and that's what, it's almost like a big club. You've got top players in almost every position. You've got two players for every position. You can only pick, you know, 10 outfield players. You're going to always be debatable who should leave out. That'd be the case for just about anyone. There's always an argument of who you should play. It's easier before the game, you know, to argue that. During the game or after the game, that's when the debate starts if you don't get the result. But ultimately, if we get a positive result today, then he'll reassess it. He'll look at everyone's availability for Tuesday, and then I think actually he will change it again. I think he'll probably go back to a 4 against Spain, and maybe even a 4-3-3. But today, as I said, he's picked his team with a victory in mind, being really positive. I agree with Gordon. I think it is positive. I think if you look at the amount of forward players we've got going there, I think with Armstrong, McGinn has obviously been absolutely magnificent for Scotland in terms of his goal scoring. Shea Adams, I think the two fullbacks will get forward. I think we're obviously dangerous at set plays as well. I definitely think this team is more than good enough to win this match, and really that's all that matters.
And Mark Wilson, what does it say about Callum McGregor that in this most divided of footballing environments, not just in terms of club rivalry, but everybody's got an opinion? You've seen that over the last week as we've debated the team. Nobody, absolutely nobody, would suggest leaving Callum McGregor out of this Scotland team. We were talking last night, okay, how many are absolutely nailed on to play? Absolutely nailed on. And the only ones you could really have come up with were Andy Robertson, Shea Adams, John McGinn, And Callum McGregor.
Yeah.
It's his 50th cap today as well.
Incredible. Just an incredible footballer, Gordon. I think everybody recognises that. You mentioned there the city divided, but I think even Rangers supporters would realise that he is the beating heart of what is an outstanding Celtic side. Now, when it comes to international football, I think some players sometimes change their game and sometimes maybe look a bit less than what they do when they represent their club, just because they're trying to maybe fit into a different manager's style or fit into different players around about him. I don't think McGregor does. I think he plays exactly the same way, and I think it suits international football in terms of how you need to be comfortable in the ball, how you need to keep the ball, how you need to have knowledge to slow the game down at times as well as burst into life and drive your team forward. I think he's done that on the international side for his 50 caps. I can't remember many games where we've been disappointed and says Cal McGregor was never in that. He's always been one of the ones that gets pass marks at the least. So again, he's just the driving force of another team, driving force of Celtic, and I think he's similar role for Scotland. And I hope he's the exact same today. Hope he's the exact same against a terrific Spanish side on Tuesday, because we need top players like that in the middle of the pitch to keep the ball at this level. Yeah,
been a terrific servant already, Gordon, hasn't he? In this, by no means is the even close to the end of the road, but 50 caps, some achievement.
Yeah, he must be brilliant for a manager or a coach to work with, Gordon. Terrific talent, great ability, knows how to play the game. He deserves his 50 caps, of course he does. He's been terrific for us. And Mark's right, he takes his Celtic form usually into the Scotland set-up as well. He's had a few partners in there. I like the partnership today. I know a lot of people cry out for Gilmore. I totally take that on board. Right now, I think Ryan Jack's playing probably best football he's played in a long, long time. I know he's had injuries, but that partnership of McGregor and Jack in the middle of the park sounds very good to me today.
We're nearly there. The build-up continues at Hampden next.
action as it happens. And your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
15 minutes till kickoff. Scotland against Cyprus in the opening European Championship qualifier. It feels like a new start. It always is when a new campaign comes around. There's a new contract for the manager. There was always going to be a new name in goal. This time we know it is Angus Gunn. And we've been working our way through the build-up, looking at the inclusions and exclusions from that team. Now, of course, Jim Duffy, to state the obvious, at some stage we're going to need to stick the ball in the back of the net. That, in particular today, there will be a level of expectation there because it is the lowest seed in the group we're playing at home. How do you assess the attacking options in the squad?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's good flexibility and movement. I think the concern we have is we don't have a natural goal scorer. There's no doubt about that, Gordon. There's no shying away from that. You know, we have obviously McGinn, who's done very, very well. And Shea Adams, I think, has been maybe a wee bit unlucky at times, but he's not someone you would say, oh, he's a natural penalty box striker. He's not a Gordon Dale, let's be honest. You know what I mean? So you've got you've got Armstrong and things like that who are capable. But that's the one concern for me, is that we don't have that. We're not blessed with a natural goal scorer. But I do think, you know, if we do have players that can score goals, as I said to you, like McGinn. Like, they are capable, obviously, as I said to you, set plays, whether it's Hanley and Porteous and things like that. We've got a little bit of presence. So I think with clever movement, and I think Adams does stretch defenders, he does create space for the likes of McGinn, for the likes of Armstrong, then I think that should be enough to create chances, and then it's up to the players to have that composure and quality to take those chances.
There's no secret, the number one goal threat is John McGinn, ably assisted by his backside, Mark Wilson. He's got 15 in a Scotland shirt. Just how important is he?
Oh, he's huge. I mean, I think we see the best of John McGinn in this Scotland side, where he's moved that wee bit further forward, just in behind the striker. A player who always seems to arrive at the right time in the box, and I mean, that's crucial for a midfielder. And we've relied heavily on him over the years. But I'm with Jim. When you look, if there is a concern about the Scotland side, I think it's an attacking formation with Tierney and Roberts on one side, Porteous and Hickey the other. I think we've got creativity in there, but it is goal scoring. Shea Adams this season, I know he's not played all the games down south for Southampton, but 11 goals. You follow that up with Armstrong and McGinn behind him, 3 goals each. Then McGregor and Jack as well. So that is the problem. This current campaign, this term, this season for the players, there's not many. It's absolutely on fire in terms of goal scoring.
I suppose individually, Gordon, if you're talking about personnel, then that would be correct. But it's not a team that is terribly lacking in goals in terms of the total that they get as a unit. You know, we mentioned John McGinn, obviously. You look back to some of the previous games. You know, we did score 3 at home against Ukraine. We scored twice at home against Denmark, you know, decent sides. It's not like we only ever scrape these 1-0s. It just, unless Shea Adams suddenly becomes prolific, that spread is going to have to continue to be there and maybe even improve.
Yeah, I don't think we're a team that just relies on the one centre forward who bangs in all the goals and takes all the glory. I think there's goals all over the pitch. One player I don't think gets enough credit, and he's one of my favourites, has been for a long time. I think Armstrong's terrific. I think his movement, his timing of the runs, he can get his goals. I think he causes so many problems to defences. Jim touched on a good one earlier, the fact that set plays, we've got a threat. You know, Porteous can get up there, Hanley, you know, Hickey's a fair. You've got great delivery from whether it's Tierney or Robertson, which helps. I just think there's goals there for us, and I fancy Armstrong and Adams to be on the goal scoring sheet today.
Jim Duffy, how important are Andy Robertson and Aaron Hickey to provide that width? Because you look at it further forward, we know it's just not a system we use. We don't have wingers. We don't play in that regard, and you would not consider John McGinn or Stuart Armstrong wide players. So how much of an onus is on Robertson and Hickey?
Yeah, I always think Andy Robertson's better at left back. I don't think there's any doubt with that, because he's used to playing that way with Liverpool. And, you know, the white guy, whatever white guy's in front of him, you know, they come in and then it allows him to have that space. Whereas if he's higher up the pitch, he's almost too close to the opposite, you know, wing back or the opposite full back. and sometimes he can't get beyond him. He's coming back inside. That's when Tierney's important, because he can break forward. It's always, it's like the underlap then from that side, and he gives us that a different dimension. Aaron Hickey again can play both fullbacks, but he's a wee bit similar. I think a more natural fullback. So yeah, I think both of those players would prefer to play in a four, but they have to give us that width, because you're absolutely right. Armstrong will come in, McGinn will come in, so they have to give us that natural width and get high up the pitch. It's just a case of getting the distances right when you're not playing that week in, week out with your club football, Gordon. It does take a wee bit of adjusting, and I think Andy Robertson at times has had to sacrifice a wee bit of his own game. Although I think in the last maybe 6-7 games, I think he's been a lot better. But in his first few games in that system, I definitely think he wasn't at the same level. But he's certainly adjusted to it, and should be more accustomed to it now that he's played several games in that role.
Yeah, well, listen, we know that Mark Wilson comes in here every night with an Andy Robertson branded hoodie on, so he's not going to say anything bad about the gaffer, Gordon Dale, but he is the captain. He's clearly operating at the highest level of the squad. With that comes a pressure. You know, we've seen it before. It's kind of, call it Darren Fletcher syndrome. People expect maybe quite a lot of you when you come up and play for your national team. And as Jim says, it's entirely different. You've got different players in front of you, different partnerships on the pitch. It's not always easy for Andy Robertson to do the Liverpool bit when he's in a Scotland jersey.
Yeah, you've got to take into consideration when you're club football, you're working day in, day out with the same players. You get to know their style of play, their timing of their runs, everything, where they want the ball, how they want the ball. This is a different position for Robertson as well. He's used to the flat back four, where he sees a full game in front of him, and he goes and plays with the players and he knows their runs and movements. But you're right, Gordon, when you come with the tag of being one of the best left backs in Europe, and the boy certainly fits into that bill, then you come with the pressure of having to perform. He's now the captain, which is more responsibility for him. But he gives us so much, you've got to say. Has he had a few bad games in Scotland? Of course he has. Everybody does. You don't just come up and take your club football and your form and just turn it on to international football. It's difficult for these guys. But Robertson is a class act.
And funnily enough, scored a screamer against Cyprus in Stevie Clark's first game in charge. And you know, it took a Ryan Christie screamer to set us on our way in the game over there the last time. It's the last four meetings of the sides have ended 2-1 to Scotland, Mark. It feels like we're about to kick off one of those classic afternoons where we clearly should win. There's a level of expectation there, but it just might not be all our own way.
Well, I don't think international football is now. I keep going back to it, and I hope I'm wrong today. I hope we get an early goal and we go on and we stroll it and it's an easy afternoon. But I think the gap has been closed in the way international minnows, so to speak, approach a game now is much more difficult. So it may just take something like we had for Andy Robertson or Ryan Christie to unlock the door. But as long as we're patient, and don't expect to win the game in the first 10 minutes, the crowd at Hampden, that is, then I think the players will settle into it quite nicely, because we've got plenty of attacking promise on there. Mentioned the worry about the goal scorer, but I think we've, Jim touched on it, plenty of movement with Armstrong and McGinn, Robertson and Hickey, so looking forward to it.
Kick off at Hampden's next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Let's head straight back to Hampden just in time for Flower of Scotland.
Yeah.
the roar of the Scotland fans. They are ready to go for this European qualifier against Cyprus. The players are out there, they're in their 150th anniversary kit, very smart looking. I don't think we'll mention the price, that's been talked about enough this week. But we talk about the crowd, Jim Duffy, it's not the ultimate barometer of how a team are doing, but Gordon mentioned it, a packed out Hampden for this type of game, it just goes to show, you know, how Steve Clarke has managed to change the feeling, the general feeling around the national team, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, listen, when you hear the fans belting out the for the Scotland, you know, it's got inspired players, you know, and I think again it just shows that togetherness between the fans and the players, and they'll certainly, you know, as a player, when you're going to kick off, all you want is to know that your supporters are behind you, and that is the case for Scotland just now, and it's been developed over the tenure of Stevie Clarke. But you know, it'll be interesting to see how Tamura Kitzbaya, the new manager, obviously he was at Dundee. Before that went, actually, just in the early 2000s, and a terrific player. You know, he's a new manager. He said himself that you know, his players will thrive on this occasion. And again, but we have to be look at it. We know it'll be difficult. I think they will be organised. But if the vast majority of the Cypriot players, Andrew, play in the Cypriot league, but 90% of them, or maybe more than that, play in the Cypriot league. If one of our top clubs drew a Cypriot club in the Champions League or a European competition, you'd have to say we'd be strong favourites. So Scotland should be strong favourites to win this match. There's no doubt about it. They will thrive on the atmosphere. The fans will get right behind them. If they can get an early goal to settle them down, fantastic. But if not, we still have the quality. And as long as we've got the patience, then eventually I'm sure it will be good enough to get all 3 points, which would be the ideal start, because we are notoriously slow starters in competition. So we really need to get off to the perfect start today with the Spain game coming up on Tuesday, taking care of itself.
Well, the Cyprus players just breaking away from their huddle. They're in white shirts with blue shorts. The Scotland players, high fives all round for them. Just about to kick off. I'll read you through the starting lineup quickly. Angus Gunn getting his first cap in goal. The back three, Ryan Porteous, Grant Hanley and Kieran Tierney. It's Aaron Hickey and Andy Robertson, the wing-backs. Callum McGregor and Ryan Jack, the two centre midfielders. John McGinn and Stuart Armstrong supporting Shea Adams up top. It's Stuart Armstrong that gets us underway here at Hampden.
Just like that, the big game is underway at Hampden. Will Steve Clarke's Scotland side get their Euro qualification campaign off to a winning start? In terms of what you can see so far, the new strip looks magnificent, Mark Wilson.
Lovely, lovely.
I know we argued a bit about the price and so on, and yes, that's valid, but my word, we certainly look the part. Let's hope it brings us a bit of luck on the pitch as well.
I hope so. Yep, the guys are looking magnificent in
like
the new
it?
kit. But oh, it's looking lovely. But Games settling down. We see the Scotland shape. We see Portis there, right centre half, just looking for that run of John McGinn early on, just to get in behind, trying to stretch the Cypriot defence. I think you made an important point, Gordon, about the fullbacks or the wingbacks. Andy Robertson, Aaron Hickey, keeping their width to allow Armstrong and McGinn that space in behind. That's going to be an important factor today.
And the thing you can tell right away, Gordon, is the pitch looks like it's taken
very slow, doesn't it? Is that just me?
No, I think it's taken a lot of water. Obviously, our weather's not been that great recently. But the players will just need to adapt to it.
Yeah. Jim Duffy can tell us, he's the eyewitness, Mark Wilson, but this much maligned Hampden surface, and we know it's got a big schedule coming up in the Scottish Cup. We were just off the back of the League Cup. Just initial reactions, that looks very slow.
Yeah, you can tell right away when the first ball went back from Armstrong back to Hanley, that, you know, the speed of the ball, it looks like it's been raining for about 4 weeks, and that's not been the case. I mean,
or is the grass just long?
It's 3 weeks.
It looks a mix of both. It does. The grass looks long, and it looks like
it's just wet. Then it would be.
It looks heavy.
Yeah.
But yeah, this pitch has had numerous problems, and we've got a couple of big games coming up.
Don't get me wrong, Tuesday night, grow it as long as you like.
Don't
fancy them popping the ball along.
What was that? That was Craig Levein.
Craig Levein, Brendan Rodgers. Yeah. And then bring the lines in.
But I must say,
that was Alloa. I was at that game against Rangers.
Anyway, corner kick to Scotland, 2.5 minutes gone. First set piece to try and put some pressure on. It's an outswinger. Keeper punches, doesn't get there fully. Kieran Tierney's got a bit of a chance to shoot, but he just decides. with the outside of his left boot to try and sort of shape one into the box, Gordon. I feel like he was, I feel like it opened up for him to have a bit of a goal.
It did, but he'd have to have taken that on his right, Gordon, and obviously pull the trigger. He didn't fancy it.
He ended up crossing it. He tried
outside of the left foot just to try and find somebody at the back post.
His first touch.
He's not comfortable on his right. He's more comfortable on that favourite left foot. But good positive start. Forced a corner already, so we're off and running here.
Yes, absolutely. Interestingly, the couple of familiar names in the Cyprus setup, Jim Duffy mentioned, Tamuri Kitsbaya, well known firstly for booting the advertising boards at Newcastle in one of the most famous celebrations.
Great
of all
celebration.
Time.
And just sheer anger.
And secondly, maybe for us, as Jim quite rightly says, he was a Dundee player. Didn't quite overlap with Jim Duffy, though. I think they did go to the same barber, apparently, up there next to Dens Park.
What year was that then? I might have came across or played against him then. Totally forgot Kisbaya was in amongst Dundee.
By the way, Duff had some players up at Dundee.
The early 2000s, 2001, 2002 season.
By the way, I would have walked horns with Kisbaya. I think I would have come in top.
Because he had just come from Wolves. So Kenny Miller was saying last night he thinks he just missed him at Wolves as well when he was down
there. Terrific player,
decent.
Right, free kick Cyprus, so a bit of defending to do. Ryan Porteous just a bit too aggressive, left an arm on his marker as he jumped for the header, and the referee didn't like it, but it's now a free kick to Scotland, given away by the only other name in the team that jumps out at you, Alex Gogic. Who of course has played for a few teams in Scotland,
and also the same barber.
Absolutely.
There's a few there. Jim will feel right at home, won't he?
St Mirren midfielder, of course, formerly of Hibs and Hamilton Accies, but formerly of Hibs. He was marking Ryan Porteous, his old teammate, there at the set piece when it came into the box. He actually lost two cup finals there with Hibs, so he'll be hoping for a better day out at Hampden, and we of course will be hoping to spoil that and make it three defeats if we possibly can. But 19th cap for Cyprus for Alex Gogic.
I think he's been decent in his time in Scotland. I think he plays that role well in midfield. He's playing at the back today in midly a three. Different role for him, but you can see how Scotland's going to have to be patient, especially with this, the way the pitch is playing at the minute. It's very slow, and you know,
that's a good run. That's good movement.
Yeah,
that's what you're looking for.
Over the top, and Adams is very comfortable at dropping in and taking a touch, and he's done that. And then here goes Kieran Tierney. You want Andy Robertson
to hold up there.
Pitch wasn't as slow as I would have liked on that occasion.
I think Mark used a good word today: patience. I think we've got to be patient. There's no easy games nowadays, and gone are the days you think, oh, Cyprus, Hampden, it should be easy.
I'm going to disagree a bit, right? Because I just don't want to throw out cliches for the sake of it. In your European qualification groups, there are genuine minnows, right? You've got your San Marinos, Maltas, Gibraltars, teams that we've played in the past and absolutely hammered. So you do get them. I just don't think Cyprus are that. The problem, if you want to call it that, or the slightly difficult thing for us, is they are meant to be our minnow. They're our group's minnow. They are the lowest seeded team in our group. You know, when out of that pot, you could have got San Marino, you could have got Gibraltar, and we got Cyprus. Which feeds into what is a difficult group in that regard, Mark. Because Norway was arguably the toughest pot three team we could have got, and San Marino one of the tougher bottom seeds that we could have got.
Yeah, I think we have been unfortunate when it comes to a group. Some players might think, oh, it's a good thing they get these bigger names. The games become that wee bit more edgy, which players always enjoy. Rather than going and thumping somebody 6-0. But you know, the good thing, you mentioned it earlier on, because your Nations League performance, we're guaranteed at least a playoff spot, which takes a wee bit of the pressure off.
Only 7 minutes gone, Gordon, but something that jumps out so far is Ryan Porteous's distribution has been excellent. He's played a number of relatively high risk passes, zipped them into midfield or, you know, into ambitious areas, and he's pulled most of them off so far, if not all of them.
Yeah, to be fair, I think Jim highlighted that in the build-up to the game. Gordon talking about, you know, he's very comfortable on the ball. He can hit those diagonals if Robertson's on the touchline. He can play nice zip balls into McGregor and Jack and McGinn So yeah, he's very comfortable on the ball. I think he's getting better and better. I think at the beginning of his career he was a bit hot-headed, got caught up in a lot of things, didn't really concentrate in the game a lot. But I think since he's come into the Scotland scene, he's been excellent, Gordon, as he gives the ball away there.
Fires it in. Yeah. Right into McGinn's head. Yeah.
I think it took a nick off someone. I think no.
Did it? Did not just fire it into McGinn's head?
Yeah. Nah, you might be right.
I think he did. Yeah. I don't even know if it was for McGinn. I think he was maybe caught in two minds.
I'm not sure that was offside, by the way. When you see it back, the flag eventually went up. And
I'm with you, Mark. I don't think that was for, I think that was for a runner.
Yeah.
I think that was for a runner. But he sees things. And defensively, he's got better. He's had a good start to his career down south. You've got to give the guy a bit of credit. He came in for a lot of criticism. He's got his head down. He's worked away. And he's developing into a very talented footballer.
Today, I was looking, I'll tell you who I was looking forward to seeing, Hickey, today, because when he broke into the team, a lot was on his shoulders and he didn't perform particularly well, remember. But now he's...
Oh, you mean the Ukraine game in isolation?
Course, yeah, yeah. He looked a fish out of water and I felt sorry for the boy in the day. But now he's a Premier League player. I know he was playing in Italy at the time, but a Premier League player, and he's doing well at the minute. I think this is a big afternoon for him. I'm looking forward to see how he drives forward. Now, a couple of times he's got the ball, looks a bit tentative, turned back a couple of times. That's fine in the opening stages, but as the game progresses, I want to see more from him going forward.
You would say, Gordon, the sort of out and out more attacking of the two is Nathan Patterson. But you know, to carry on the theme from earlier on, he's been out injured. He's not had a lot of game time. Aaron Hickey's done fine. Ball into the box, flashed across. John McGinn just couldn't quite get the angle on it. He was at the front post and It was a difficult one to take on, so it goes across the face of goal. But Scotland do still have it. Porteous joining in.
They're knocking the ball about well, yeah. Using both width of the pitch.
Oh.
Great. No, yeah.
Goes to the goalkeeper.
If it goes to the left, they're not frightened to come round and get back down the right hand side. They're being patient. They're getting bodies in the box. Just a little bit more quality. McGinn's unlucky there.
By the way, I think the centre forward
takes a chance.
Where we're missing a centre forward who plays in between the posts and right there just to tap that in. If you look at Shea Adams there, he's behind McGinn. He's hung out for some reason. I think if an opportunity like this guy beside me, he'd be in.
15 year on this programme, and it's taken Jim Duffy at Hamden to give me a compliment, and I'd like to thank him from the bottom of my heart. I do agree with him, but I'd like to thank him.
You'd be there to tap that in. But good play. McGinn, you know, clever player. Sees he couldn't get that in target, but just turns it around the corner.
It's not a great day for you two to be bragging about your footballing abilities, though. I've just seen the team bus. The team bus picture from the Celtic Legends game. Mark Wilson. Oh my goodness. The fact you've not had a call up for that.
Do you know what was sad? Hoopy was sitting there with his tracksuit on.
Hoopy's got his copas on, starting up front.
Listen, you're being unfair on those legends who are in that picture. I mean, there's a couple of guys who are...
Do you know we like a laugh and a carry on, right? Just quickly. But he's absolute sick. He is sick. I know.
No,
I've worked with this guy too long now.
The Huddle Hound and Davey for the pie store or the fullbacks, and you're standing in here with us.
Listen, honestly, I'm getting people shouting at me in the street and texts. It just shows you the power of this show.
Remarkable.
Last night watching Gogglebox, people are texting me saying, "You know, on the way down to Liverpool for that Legends game."
Good choice of Friday night viewing, though, I must admit. I never miss it.
I love it, man. Great show.
Portis trying that long ball.
I think we went too early
with Portis.
He said his distribution's been excellent and he's just punted one the full length of the pitch right to the keeper.
He doesn't need, as I say, I don't think the pitch is playing as a fast pitch, Gordon. I think they have let the grass grow because of the weather. It's been very, very, you know, wet, and it looks like that. So, you know, try to zip that ball about. Be patient. If I was Portis, personally, I'd be giving the ball to McGregor's and Ryan Jack and just saying, on you go and play.
Not my style. I always get quite annoyed when people just latch onto something at the start and keep banging on about it, so I'll try not to. Mark Wilson, I feel like the pitch looks really, really slow.
You're right.
And I asked Andrew McLean, is it just from TV pictures? What's it like in person? He says it's giving off the same impression. It's a bit patched up. You can just see the way the ball's rolling on it, or not rolling, as the case may be.
Yeah. And I don't know how we fix it, because it's a problem we've had for years.
Well, Scotland into the box with Aaron Hickey. He probably should have crossed it, but he goes for a shot at the near post, saved and out for a corner. Did ever so well initially.
Don't mind that. It's good play. Ryan Jack, good run, gives it to Hickey. I think he does brilliantly. Cuts inside and his left foot on his right. He's not got a lot of options there, is he?
Are you looking for Armstrong on the penalty spot?
A cutback for Armstrong, maybe? I think that's a hard one to get your head on.
He's got to get it through three bodies to get it to Armstrong.
No, I think that's a hard one.
You know what?
I'm never going to have a net, though.
No, but I'm going to have a go. At least he's forced a corner. I'm going to have a go at Adams again. See, when you look
get
at
across
Adams,
the front.
Adams is hanging out.
Corner kick, Andy Robertson. Oh, it's one of those at the refs. Now, the timing on this, so as Porteous has gone down from Gogic, now you have to assume the ref blew the whistle before the corner came in. Right, here's the thing, right? Why not let that go and give a penalty against Alex Gogic? Right, so the ball's presumably not in play. Why not let that go? You've got VAR there.
Exactly. Yeah, and the minute the ball comes in.
So why let Alex Gogic away with that? And listen, I know Ryan Porteous is quite good at the dark arts himself, okay? But why not let that play out?
That's your point.
Because when you see it back, that would have been a penalty kick.
No doubt in my mind, that would have been a penalty kick. Gogic arms round Porteous. Porteous doesn't take a lot to go down, but
Robertson's
still.
Corner comes in, it's cleared away by Cyprus again. Armstrong's touch is heavy, and then he commits a foul, and he's going to go into the referee's book.
Yeah,
14 minutes gone.
Well, he stops a promising attack, you've got to say.
Tell me these Cyprus players are not gathered round because they think that's more than a yellow.
No,
unless we've missed something.
I mean, Armstrong, every intention going, but his studs are up.
Up high.
Let's see, does he catch him on the? Well, his studs did come up at the last minute.
He is a bit high. I'm not saying it's a red card, right? I'm not for 1 minute, but I don't know why his studs are up as high as that.
He sort of grazes. It's not one where the studs go through the player. They kind of graze. It's
coming to the end of his slide. Yeah. And it comes up.
Are you a defender? You've got to get your foot angled round and bring the ball back.
That was a good demonstration. Yeah, you did with your arm. Yeah,
I'm going to take your opinion on it, because I never tackled in my life.
You just run about and just do that fake one where the striker runs and then just slows down.
We're always talking about, you know, lack of communication, and these Cyprus players are really banging this drum for that to be a red card. That cannot be a red card.
No, not at all. I think obviously it is a yellow. I think the referee's called that correctly. So we just need to go on with it, Gordon. I'll tell you what I did notice at the beginning. I've not seen a lot of Angus Gunn, right? But he's got a fair presence about him. He's got a fair presence as a goalkeeper. I like that in a goalkeeper.
Just going to go back to an earlier complaint, though, since we're talking about communication and VAR and all that sort of stuff. So it did flash up in the screen very briefly, a hand in about, you know, checking a potential penalty, which I don't think they really were, because, like we said, the ball wasn't in play. I don't get that from the referee then. When you've got that there in place, and you know that you've got that tool. So basically, if Andy Robertson runs up to the ball and takes it a bit quicker, then you're forced to go and check VAR for the penalty and probably give it, if you look at what Alex Gogic did to Ryan Porteous.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a real let off there for Cyprus.
I was referee just too quick there to blow his whistle. And like you say, when we've got VAR, referees and assistant referees are now trained and told to let the play go as long as possible before bringing it back in case these things happen. So not our day in that respect. Cyprus get away more. Here to come though.
Cyprus first attack. Angus Gunn's first save. Hugh Keevans would have saved it, but at least it's a first save in a Scotland jersey for Angus Gunn.
Yeah, I think he'll be delighted to get a touch. Where are we going? 16 minutes? We've not really seen him. Back pass, apart from that, he would have been delighted just to get a feel of the ball. Quite nice and easy for him, comfortable. Settles him into his first international cap.
See there, John McInn just getting dragged deeper, getting the ball from Porteous. Maybe a wee bit of frustration there, because 16 minutes in, we've not seen an awful lot of McInn or Armstrong. So he's came deeper and deeper to try and get involved in the play. And it's actually Jack that then makes a run in behind him. The ball's not bad from McInn, but it's not his game. He's just not got the pace to get there. So we're early doors. I hope we just don't start getting desperate in terms of those two attacking midfielders coming beyond McGregor and Jack. Those guys are good enough to go and get the ball off the back three rather than them.
Well, Cyprus look like they've just set up to say, right, okay, we'll let the back men on the ball. We're not going to go and press high up and let them play through us. We'll just go and squeeze a game once they come into a certain area. So they're quite happy to drop off, let Hanley on it, let Tierney on it, let Portis on it, and then when it gets in, then they're going to squeeze
again. I knew they would. I think you look at the last few qualifiers, they sit at roughly 30% possession mark. They were always going to do that.
Of course, but it's up to us. It's your home game. It's up to us with our quality players and the formation that we're playing to come up with the ideas to unlock them. Now that takes a wee bit of movement, and it takes clever players to do. That's much better. Out to Hickey. Oh, he needs to just be more positive than that.
It was another good pass from Porteous to set it on its way. McGinn tries to just shape one over the top for Andy Robertson's run, but can't get there. Tierney comes and cleans up. So 18 minutes gone, Scotland 0, Cyprus 0. Certainly nothing wrong really with the performance yet. It's fine, it's controlled enough. Certainly got all the ball. We have mentioned, if you're just joining us, the pitch looks very slow, and players not really able to move the ball as quickly as they would like. But no real goal mouth incidents to tell you about. Aaron Hickey's probably come closest. It was an ambitious shot that the goalkeeper saved at his near post. Couple of set pieces and so on, as Callum McGregor is penalised for a foul down near the corner flag and a free kick to Cyprus.
I think one thing we would say is that you rightly say there's nothing wrong with the performance to now, but I think we would like to have created maybe more goal mouth action. McGinn's had that one that flashed across. Hickey's forced a save that's just a routine save, but something, some sustained pressure in this period, and it's most of the game played from the Scotland back three through to their midfield, never really getting in behind. So Cyprus, I think Cyprus pretty comfortable at this minute. I'd just like to see us making them uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough to get in behind, Gordon, isn't it? With how sort of compact they are. Andy Robertson, just again, there is the temptation to force it a bit, and it's loose from Cyprus, so allows Shea Adams to come. And Scotland trying to build something down the left, but it's just it's like a hopeful cross more than anything.
We're getting bodies forward, but when we get in the final third, we're just not getting those crisp passes, the movements, taking players out of position as we've lost the ball there.
It's got to be a foul on Jack.
Wow, that's interesting. I'd like to see that back. As luckily for us, Callum McGregor comes in, makes an interception. Looked like a clear foul, did it not?
It certainly did. I thought two Cyprus players was run Jack there. I thought he actually stayed down. He's back on his feet now. I thought it was right in the ankles, but referee waves play on. Better from Scotland here.
Yeah, Andy Robertson into the box, and it's and there we are. It's in the back of the net. Goal for Scotland.
It's offside.
John McGinn, who else? The top scorer in the squad. He gets his 16th goal for the national side. A remarkable return, of course. This is 2023. You wait a little bit. You're a bit nervous in case there's a VAR intervention, because the Cyprus players did feel it was offside. But let's deal with it as it comes. It was down, and I think... Well, it's not John McGinn's
offside,
but is Andy Robertson...
Maybe Armstrong's ball. It's a great ball inside the fullback. Robertson gets it across, takes a little nick. McGinn turns it in.
I looked at that right away, and I says to Mark, but
you were talking about John McGinn though.
No, I was talking about Robertson.
Right, okay.
This guy, he doesn't miss much.
But fingers crossed. Is it getting checked, Gordon? Obviously goal gets checked.
I think, well, listen, Fir Park last week told us there's no point in trying to second guess, because you know,
we're just hoping the Fir Park guy cut the lines today.
The Hawkeye technology is there for a reason. If you were asking naked eye, I think Andy Robertson looked off, but
did
Gordon? I'm standing here a long way away from Hampden. I thought right away when I seen that ball, but I'll tell you what, take the offside out the road. Good movement, great ball, and Robertson,
good play from Armstrong.
We're just seeing it again.
It's just it's going to be, it's one of those impossible to call until the lines go on. Forget John McGinn, he's
McGinn's
not off surely.
No,
it's the Andy Robertson one. Is he beyond Alex Gogic? That is the decision that is being made by the technology at the moment.
Just now, what we are watching, Could the TV companies not put the lines up for us to watch?
Well, that has to be sent from the VAR operator to goal. The TV broadcaster. And I think the goal has been given. Scotland 1, Cyprus 0, midway through the first half. And John McGinn has us up and running. That man's goals for Scotland, a remarkable return, Mark Wilson.
It certainly is. I said at the top of the show, we rely on him so much and we get the best out of him when he plays closer to the forward man. I mean, it just arrives at the right time every time almost. So again, there where you would probably think your striker Shea Adams would be the most advanced player in the box, it's McGinn who's making that run to go into the end of Robertson's cross.
It's such a brilliant knack, Gordon, because he's never played up there. You know, it's not something that comes as if you say, oh, you know, he used to be a striker, or he's a particularly attacking midfielder. He's always been good at bustling his way through, mm-hmm. and he can shoot from range. But as Mark says, he genuinely gets in like striker's positions at times for the national team.
What I'm very impressed with him is you look at that goal and it looks like nobody's within 5 yards of him. He's just times it to perfection. You know, he waits to the defender, looks at the ball, because you've got to look at Andy Robertson going across it. He makes his movement and he absolutely is bang on in the right space to say to Robertson, put the ball in there and I'll put it in the back of net. And he obliges.
It's tight, isn't
it? Well, do you know what? I was going to disagree. I think when you see the lines, he's more onside than I thought he was.
Well, the foot of the middle defender there, just right in line.
Yeah.
So it's not the first defender. No, it's the one behind him. It's the foot. So, but look, it's a good move. We were holding our breath there. Armstrong, exactly what you want from a player who plays in behind the striker. You know, getting that ball in that zone, then turning and playing a positive pass. But you need the willing runner. Robertson times it perfectly. I actually didn't think it was the best ball from Andy at the end.
Took a nick
to fall onto John McGinn's path.
16 now for Scotland, Gordon. He has now overtaken James McFadden,
mm-hmm.
and he is two behind our very own Kenny Miller. He's three behind Ali McCoist.
That's
so
amazing.
In terms of modern era, he's bang up there. And one, I mean, you have to assume, is he going to get three to match McCoist? You'd imagine so. Leaving ahead of him Laurie Riley, Hughie Gallagher, Kenny Dalglish and Dennis Law, if he can get to the Ali McCoist.
Imagine being able to say that I've left Dalglish behind.
Well, he's got a bit to go to catch him.
But I think the most important thing in these 16 goals is it's mostly the important ones. Like, see, today we're looking 23 minutes in. I'll bet you that some supporters were getting a little bit impatient. And he pops up again. He's popped up with winners. He pops up with valuable goals. He's always in good position. Do you know, see McGinn for me, he looks like, and Jim was talking about natural strikers. See in the box, his movement's as good as any striker I've seen.
I've seen a more sort of sentimental way, if you like, Mark. There's just something special about having a player for your national team that you feel like you can rely on, that is your talisman. Well, the guy's just overtaken James McFadden, you know, guy that would get you off your Hampden seat. And it's got that type of feel for John McGinn.
McGinn, certainly, and a different respect from McFadden. McFadden could light up the crowd by dancing past three or four players and then adding a goal to it. But McGinn just epitomises everything. As to be Scottish, you know that he can scrap when he needs to scrap. You know, he's got that passion. The fitness levels in the boy is incredible, and he's always in the right place at the right time. So he's been a fantastic player. But I really do find that when Steve Clark's moved him forward into that position, we've seen the best of him. You even see there when we get in again and the ball's flashed across from Tierney, it's McGinn that's the more advanced out of any of our players.
I think his attitude's brilliant. I think his work rate, he's a team player. As much as he takes all the pats in the back because of the goals, important goals, he's a team player. He's a part of that team. He's brilliant at it, and he deserves everything he gets. He's a very talented young player.
What I was just about to say, though, is I was about to praise the backside, and then he went to stick it in where he usually does and lost out. Is there... Oh my goodness, Cyprus go for a 45 yard volley over the head of Angus Gunn. It had him scrambling, but it ends up wide of the post. We're not going to criticise John McGinn's backside. How dare we, Gordon? There are just the odd occasion where he really looks to throw in that he doesn't need to and almost kind of leaves the ball behind, and that happened on that occasion.
Yeah, but we can't criticise him for that. Most of the time,
it works nine times out of ten.
Yeah, he gets it right, Gordon. As I say, you can't say enough about him, especially with Scotland's trip on. Never let us down. Works away. His attitude's brilliant. Gets good goals for us. He's just he's been terrific, and I think this team, the way they play, suits him.
Good pressure from Scotland, squeezing Cyprus into an uncomfortable area and forcing them into a mistake. Scotland do eventually have to come back the way, but it's very comfortable for Scotland at this point. 1-0 up, 27 gone, keeping good possession, not being troubled too much at the back. But as all the cliches go in these types of games, Mark, you just get that second soon and make it properly comfortable.
Yeah, I think that was an important side of the game as well, Gordon. When you come up against teams like Cyprus,
here's Kieran Tierney into the box, it can't quite reach John McGinn.
Decent
defending.
But in terms of pressing, I was going to say, you cannot let teams like Cyprus to settle and put a few passes in. We've got to be right on top of them. Scotland boys carrying that out to a tee at the minute, half an hour, just approaching half an hour.
Do you know who I think's been excellent? Armstrong. I think Armstrong's,
you love Armstrong, don't
you? I do. I think love he's him. I seen him at Dundee United and I've followed his career since then.
It's been really tough to follow.
Well, I felt a big part of it because I did mention
great
super scoreboard
down the left side, and I guess another Robertson cross that takes another deflection, but this one doesn't fall kindly. What we will say, Mark, in that little passage of play you just saw, you remember the talk pre-match for anyone who instantly accuses us of being, you know, negative when you go for the back three. Andy Robertson was like in the box, and then Kieran Tierney was the one that was outside him.
Yeah.
That's your left-sided centre back. So that's why we do it. It's not
so
all as it's not all as easy as just to say that three centre backs is more defensive than two. It just doesn't work like that when it's that personnel that's involved.
No, because you can overload that left side. You can create gaps for Tierney to come up, and then the quality that Tierney's got is usually pretty good when he gets in the final third. That's exactly what you want.
We look like we're driving down the left-hand lane. Everything's going down the left-hand side. I will say, as the ball's coming in from the left-hand side, if I was Steve Clark, I'd be asking Hickey just to hold his run a little bit. I think he's getting in
too early,
and he's get caught with two or three, where if he holds his run, he's got a chance of going challenging the back post.
Good shout that. Yeah, noticed that a couple of times. And it's difficult. We were chatting about the difference between playing, it was left back, we were chatting about left back and left wing back. I was the same when it was right back or right wing back. I'd always prefer to play at right back over right wing back because it was pretty unsure. That timing of the run
see
that
the
you're
pitch
on about.
In front of you, is
see
the
pitch
is?
In front of you. Jim made a good point.
Correct,
you're always closer
wrong, though,
to the left back.
Does Brentford play three at the back, though? Do they not? I could be wrong. I think they do. And I just wondered how the familiarity
I just
Hickey.
Made I may suit Hickey better, but me as a fullback and Andy Robertson, who plays it in a four for Liverpool, takes a bit of getting used to, Gordon. And that run, I was always unsure timing my run into back post. I was always far too far out.
Is that not the end at Hampden where you crossed the ball? In fact, it was heading away from goal and Stephen Craigan struck it in the net.
I was the one where I shot a goal.
And you claim you scored a Scottish Cup final goal.
I took a slight nick and went in. By the way, the pitch that day was playing much like the pitch this day. Very slow, had a wee bit of rain.
It was chucking it down that day.
That was. But look, Scotland, SFA need to sort out this pitch going forward because it's hampering. I think it's hampering our lads today. I think your lads would want a nice short pitch to zip this about and, you know, really stretch Cyprus. But I think it's playing into Cyprus.
Do you think his dad there, that we've seen in a shot in the camera, Brian Gunn, is saying, give my boy a touch?
No. Goalies want as little to do as possible, surely. Yeah, like I've said it before, Mark, and we'll maybe deal with it afterwards. You just can't get away from the feeling that the ball is moving so slowly. This referee is not shy in producing yellow cards. He's just booked Castanos of Cyprus for diving on the halfway line. It's, you know, some more often than not you see players bursting into the box and get great decision.
What a shout for the ref!
Great
that is. Yeah,
I quite like that because I sometimes feel like refs do let it go in the middle of the pitch and then they, you know, they'll maybe if someone's trying to win a penalty, they blow the whistle, point the other way, and it's a blatant dive from Castanos. I don't know what
I love how he's carrying on the old charade. You know, instead of just taking your yellow card, man, I've been done here. I've been found out. He's compounded it by
my God,
it's worse when you see it from another angle. that's a shocker.
You wouldn't want to watch that highlights at night with your family. You'd be embarrassed. That was terrible. But Scotland are, I hate to say it, but they're an easy street just now. They're very comfortable. They've got that lead. Cyprus look like they're offering nothing. I know games can change quickly, but I think Scotland have settled into this game now.
Yeah, we keep drawing similarities. The first game Stevie Clark had in charge of Scotland was a home game against Cyprus, and he spoke during the week about being 1-0 up, which they were through Andy Robertson, being, you know, not too bothered. And then Cyprus being level and thinking, how did that happen? And relying on a last minute Ollie Burke winner. So hopefully it's a bit more straightforward this afternoon.
I think we're a wee bit fortunate there. Actually, Callum McGregor gives the ball away in the halfway line. Hanley then steps out to go searching for it to try and get it back, not realising he's left the guy in behind him. And Cyprus just not good enough to play that first time pass. Otherwise the boy would have had 30 odd yards to run into. So we just need to be careful.
Ooh. Talk about the Hampden pitch or Angus Gunn's boots. Oh my goodness, what a heart and mouth moment. Angus Gunn, he's had nothing to do. He comes running out, slips, the ball lands underneath his backside, and he just about keeps a hold of it inside the penalty box.
That's just down to the pitch. You know, he's in total control of that.
What's John Carver going to say?
His feet just totally goes away from him.
Can they play the Spain game at Lesser Hampden?
Aye, let's move all the games. It's a slipping hazard.
I'll tell you what, right, there's two things there. There was the slip, right, but the camera zoomed in to show you how severe the slip was. And as the ball is running through to Angus Gunn, Mark, it should
bubble.
It's bouncing all over the place.
Yep.
The boys will be able to tell us, but that pitch on TV looks...
When was the last game on this pitch?
Well, it would be the cup final, wouldn't it?
Would it? Is it? Is there not any in between? See, Scotland women's games? No, in between.
See, be fair, Mark.
That's concerning then.
We've had torrential rain most days lately.
I know, but we live in Scotland, so surely when they're picking the pitch and how to lay it, they realise.
Chance for John McGinn. He's going to get the decision. The goalkeeper goes down. He was clattered by John McGinn. I think it was like an accidental collision, but it was always don't think we can complain too much about that. It was Adams and Gogic headed the ball back towards his own goal. It was a 50-50 between McGinn, but goalie gets there first.
Yeah, free kick. Good decision. Referee's been okay. I think it was just knee on knee. Seems a little bit of a sore one there.
Yeah, John McGinn's up and didn't like to collide with him, Mark. He's a failed unit.
Stocky. He's got a stocky lower half.
Lower half? I heard that before.
A polite way of saying he's got
I like that. I'm just watching the rerun of the goal. Armstrong's ball into Robertson's brilliant. Takes the defenders right out.
Yeah.
Robertson, we get a wee bit luck with the deflection, but once again, that man McGinn arriving at the back post, the simplest Scotland goalie will get for a long, long time. Just a tap in. And comfortable. Would we like to see another one get in? Of course we would. But so far, Cyprus have offered absolutely nothing.
I think when we see the formation at the start and people automatically see the three at the back and they see McGinn and they see Armstrong, they think, oh, they're midfielders. Oh, here comes Armstrong.
Yeah, I just don't know if the ball will sit for him. Bounced up a bit too high. Sure, Armstrong, he was through, really. He was through on goal, but the ball bounced up just above that nice quiff that he's got and couldn't quite bring it under
control. He's unlucky. He starts to move and he keeps going. Right, he makes a good run.
Checking something at Hampden because Scotland had a throw and Aaron Hickey wanted to take it quickly and the referee... points to the earpiece.
That was nonsense. I don't know what they were checking there.
The check seems to be over fairly quickly, so that's quite frustrating.
Yeah, that was good play. Armstrong just couldn't get the ball down, but good run, good movement, causing a lot of problems with his runs.
That's what I was going to say. So when you look at the formation, you think they're midfielders. It really is a front three because Adams obviously spearheads it, but Armstrong and McGinn's willingness to get in behind and make up the box does make it a sort of front three when we're attacking. So we've got no worries with that. It's the best options. Oh, Armstrong picking the wrong option there.
To be fair, Robertson made the move. I thought that he was.
you love Stuart Armstrong.
Look at that for a ball. Yeah. Wins a corner kick.
That's a terrible cross, and it gets a corner kick.
He's involved in everything. I keep saying I think he doesn't get the credit he deserves. I think he's a very, very good player.
I'll just for the fun of it disagree to a point. I think there's been a lot of flattering to deceive performances in a Scotland shirt. There you go.
From Armstrong, I'd agree. Ach, and nonsense. I like Stuart. I think he's a terrific player.
He's a terrific player. Nonsense. What, absolutely.
His
no
work,
doubt about
his work off the ball as well, making space for other players, is second to none for me.
He's missed some big chances, had some big opportunities at crucial times. Yeah.
I just feel the bitterness that you're not in that bus. That's all I can feel today.
The Celtic Legends game. Yeah. I'll keep an eye on that and see how it
is
goes.
Is that kick off today?
Oh yeah, it's today. Yeah, the big game, right. Yeah.
What time's that kick off?
Oh, it's you'll three. Know, don't you worry. You'll know. Your full family's sitting there going, "Where's my boy?" With Wilson strips.
Wish them all the best. Come on, Celtic. Come on, boys.
I love when my old team get done over. I love that.
Grant Hanley can show an over eagerness at times and sort of rushed into midfield area and showed a bit too much attention to his opposition number. Free kick Cyprus. They just get us underway quite quickly. And on we go. 38 gone. Scotland 1, Cyprus 0. John McGinn with the goal.
Not seen a lot of Adams. Probably Jim will be able to tell us better. He gets a full picture at Hampden. His movement, running off the ball. But as far as being on the ball, we've not really seen a lot of them. I do agree with what Mark said earlier about sometimes that run across the front post as the balls come in from the wide area, it needs to be better, needs to be timed better. But, you know, as a striker, you could be one of these players that you don't see for 39, 40 minutes, and then all of a sudden that one chance, bang, it's in the back of net. And he's capable of doing that.
I think he plays better when obviously teams are higher up. And he's our out ball, you know, we can play in behind, he can stretch his legs, gets a wee bit of space. Yeah. He's finding it difficult today to find any involvement.
He's good at taking us up the pitch, yeah, isn't he? But we don't need to take him up the pitch as such today. You think of the Denmark game, that's arguably his best performance in a Scotland jersey. He was magnificent, wasn't he? And capped it off with a fine goal. So yeah, a bit quieter today, but John McGinn, as he often does, has got the goal that separates the sides. And hopefully Scotland can add a second in the 5 or so minutes that remain between now and that half-time whistle going. Aaron Hickey and Shea Adams just looking to press a little bit.
I'm just trying to think, would Steve Clarke be sitting there now quite happy with the way things are going?
Got
one
to
up
be, surely.
Cyprus not created anything.
I mean, he can want more for sure, but he'll be satisfied.
Yeah, I think the second goal would certainly kill this as a tie. There's no doubt, because I can't see them scoring two goals at Hampden unless there's a dramatic change at half time for them. You can always go against the fact that, yeah, they could get an odd set play or, you know, a freak goal, but they've offered nothing as a team going forward for me.
Yeah, ball again, whether it is the stickiness or what, is Scotland defence maybe a bit slow, move it back to Angus Gunn, who is forced to kick it up the pitch, and first chance really for Cyprus to get in, but the pass wasn't great and it was cut out by Grant Hanley. One of those that can easily be missed though, and this is a great run from Stuart Armstrong. He's got this more space than we've seen really in the opening stages of the game to gallop into. But eventually turns back, plays a poor pass and really sets Scotland on the back foot. That was very odd decision making, Mark Wilson.
He was brilliant at that at Dundee United. He made his career at that and got his move through that. Just luring in a defender, seeing the space and so powerful.
Did you
However,
play with
him,
Mark?
You've asked me that about a million times and every time I'll say, yep, I did play with him.
All right, okay.
But he turned back there, Gordon. I don't know why. I thought, okay, the defender caught him. He maybe could have just went again.
I don't know if he tried to play McGregor, and I think he got caught in two minds. Yeah. But it's a very positive run, good run. He's been involved in a lot of things, but it's well, you can see that Scotland are really trying to use that left side of the pitch. You know, everything seems to be coming down there.
Got to think, you know, even tracing it back, Andy Robertson, Stuart Armstrong had a terrific understanding, both of them at Dundee United. Andy gets his move to Hull, Stuart gets his move as well to Celtic, but they know each other inside out. That's why you'll see Stuart occupying that left side and try to connect with Andy as best possible. It's where we get the goal from. You know, I think that's important when you get to international level, that you've got players that do strike a balance and strike an understanding. Here it is again. Oh, I thought, see, that's Ryan Jack runs into an area there where he shouldn't have. He should have left it for Andy Robertson. The ball has got to be better for your favourite though.
Yeah, it's patient belts. Oh, the referee
that,
does
look,
well.
Look at Gogic wipe at the referee there.
What was the referee doing there? Exactly.
Well, that's a great ball.
This is nice. John McGinn's into the box. He's, he's desperate for it on his right foot, though. He wanted to cut back on his left. That's so disappointing because it was such a good
brilliant
move.
Round the corner, recalled that. I think I would have dragged that back.
It ends up a shot from Adams tipped over the bar, but you have to say, if John McGinn had any belief on that right foot, you've got to be taking that
shot. He's got to be good enough. He's a Premier League player, one of our outstanding goal scorers in a Scotland shirt. He's got to take that on his right.
Having never been anywhere near those situations, I'll bow to your superior knowledge. But see when you're that close, can you not even you can try and drag one with your weak foot towards that far corner?
Yeah, I probably would have had a go at that. As
Tierney down.
Gogic again.
Gogic wrestling. Yeah. Tierney's looking at the referee. Yeah, arms stretched wide.
Once it goes out, we'll see. Robertson's on the right side from the corner. The players are slipping all over the place here.
Change your studs at half time.
It's not the studs that they changed.
Look at that. Andy just goes to try and chip that ball back. It bobbles up. He's lucky that McGregor recovers it.
The pitch isn't great.
Come on, it needs to be better at this level. Our national park, you know, and we've not had game after game on it. That's never an excuse. And it's cut up, well, it was playing poorly in the first minutes, but it's cut up badly 43 minutes in.
The thing that would worry me is generally the pitch will look worse in real life than it does on a TV screen. So if it's worse in real life than it looks. Tierney, edge of the box. Andy Robertson, what a block that is, you have to say. Great diving. Intervention from Callum McGregor to keep it alive.
That's the plus point of Tierney. Left centre back, gets into the final third, and you think he's going to spray this across. He gets his head up low and pulls it back to Robertson, who
Scotland
gets a
could
shot.
Be in a bit
free
of
kick.
Here.
Nah,
no. It's a free kick though.
Yeah, you can say Cyprus ain't too happy with the decisions, referee, but that's a free kick.
I thought they were hard done by there. No?
Do you? Yeah. No, I think that was a free kick. I think the referee.
We had
got
the chance to check what happened with Kieran Tierney and Alex Gogic in the box.
They must have checked it. They must have looked at it.
Ball's not been out though, has it? That free kick would have stopped it at that point. Anyway, just a couple of minutes left of this first half. Certainly a comfortable one for Scotland. It's going to plan up to a point. You would possibly be looking for a more dominant scoreline. Don't think there's any shame in that.
That's
well played. Porteous finds Shea Adams. He's only got the four defenders round him, and now he's dropped pretty deep and he tries to slide one, but Hickey's just not on the same wavelength.
He does well to recover, Hickey there, but he's got to be on his toes. He's got to be react to those situations there. They're decent balls. He's making good runs. Got to say that about him. It's patient play with Scotland, and you've got to have that today, because I know we're talking about the pitch and everything like that. It's difficult, but you've got a team that are putting everybody behind the ball and making it very difficult. So you've just got to move players about.
He's shown good footwork, Aaron Hickey, a number of times. That's a nice pass from Tierney into Adams. He's just going to try and spin Gogic. He goes down, but he gets back up and it's a corner. I think he did
just touch the ball. I think Gogic just judged it.
Adams has stayed down holding his shin, and you know they should take a look. Certainly, there's just a little.
Yeah, oh, he just got it. But he comes through Adams, but
it's a great tackle.
Gets a toe in the ball there.
Great tackle.
Yeah, that's a great tackle.
You're happy with that if it's Grant Hanley, aren't you? You have to be honest. You have to be honest about that.
Oh, and he had to make it as well. I think because he committed, if Adams gets round him, he's got the full goal for his left foot just to shoot at. Yeah. The referee's still checking this.
They'll be taking a look, and by all means, if you want, if you want to produce a wild decision in Scotland's favour, we won't complain. We are
that
fickle. But yeah, it would be somebody on you go. Corner kick to be taken. Nothing doing from the VAR check, and I don't think we can complain.
Yep, a goal here would be nice. Minute to go, minute stoppage time to go to half time. Just keep an eye on what's going on in the box though, because there's been a few occasions our players have went down. Nothing that time though.
Scotland's fifth corner, and it doesn't come to anything at all, which is a bit frustrating. Back now in the defending half with Aaron Hickey, just going to go long towards the end of this first half. Porteous is up there. Maybe one more chance if Scotland fancy it. It's a throw in deep down by the corner flag.
Sometimes I don't mind that long diagonal. Just put a bit of pressure on. There's not long to go to half time. Gets you up the pitch, gives you an opportunity to get the ball in the box, and you know, the next goal for Scotland obviously puts us tied to bed, but as young Hickey there going back the way.
Probably would have been as well, just trying to get something into the box so late in the half. But comes all the way back to Angus Gunt.
We're playing with a goalkeeper.
And long it goes, it's just going to be over the head of Andy Robertson, and it's probably the last action of this first half. There was that VAR check within the stoppage time, so there'll be a little bit longer. Steve Clark tends to have the same expression on his face anyway, whether we're 5-0 up or 5-0 down. But he's, just gathering his thoughts before the halftime team talk. And that is the halftime whistle at Hampden. Let's speak to Jim Duffy and Andrew McLean.
Scotland 1, Cyprus 0, the halftime score at Hampden. And once again, it's that man, John McGinn, making the difference for Scotland. The first chance in this game went to Steve Clark's side. It was really good work from Aaron Hickey on the right, getting into the box, cutting past a couple of defenders. He was at an angle, he went for the shot, and it was turned round the post by the goalkeeper. Cyprus with the next shot on target. It was Castanos cutting in, left-footed. A really easy save for Angus Gunn on his Scotland debut 20 minutes in. And that's when the deadlock was broken. Stuart Armstrong, a really good ball to play Robertson in down the left. The captain's cross deflected into the path of John McGinn, who had the easiest of finishes for 1-0. It was checked by VAR for a possible offside in the build-up, but the goal was allowed to stand. After that, it was Kostakis Artematis. He tried an ambitious looping volley from about 35 yards. On first viewing, it actually looked quite close, but replay showed it was never going to trouble Angus Gunn's goal. And just before the break, a chance for Shea Adams. John McGinn, he chose to cut it back to Shea Adams rather than shoot on his right foot himself. Adam's shot was tipped over the bar for a corner. The half-time score at Hampden, Scotland 1, Cyprus 0. Jim Duffy, Scotland comfortable enough in this game, or maybe be looking for a bit more in the final third?
Yeah, I mean, thoroughly deserved to be in front, there's no doubt about that. Totally dominated the match the first 45 minutes. Yeah, as we said before the programme, you know, the one concern about us is can we create chances and can we take them? And we've only taken one in the first half from John McGinn. It was a long ball played through. I think there was a bit of a mix-up and a bit of a poor touch from, I think it was Gogic, and Shea Adams anticipated it, managed to get the ball wide, and then there was a lovely little ball in behind the full-back for Andy Robertson to do what he does time and time again. It's a little flick off Gogic, but John McGinn, right place at the right time, so often we've said that, on his right foot, just kept his composure. It makes it look simple, but you know, we've seen players in the past, you know, particularly on their weaker side, just getting a wee bit uptight in those situations. But he was calm, just punched it in the back of the net, 1-0. And you know, from then on in, really Scotland have, as I said, have controlled the game, but you know, not having too many clear-cut chances. With a couple of shots, you know, from goal, that one, as you mentioned, from Shea Adams, straight at the goalkeeper, and he parried it over. And as Gordon and the guys have said in the studio, particularly down the left-hand side, we spoke about that formation in the leading up to the game, the back three. But Kieran Tierney's pretty much played as a left winger at times, or a left fullback, and Andy Robertson being a left winger. The two of them have been so high up the pitch, and Portis has held his position a little bit alongside Hanley, not really got forward on that side. So most of our play has been in that side of the pitch, and Aaron Hickey's, you know, been a little bit isolated on the other side. But listen, it doesn't matter which side is your favoured side, as long as it's productive, and that one piece of productivity in that left hand side led up to the goal. And again, yeah, I think that it's difficult for Adams. He's up against three defenders and he's trying to stretch them. He's working across the back three. We're playing with almost like two number 10s in behind him with McGinn and Armstrong. And at times, you know, they've managed to get themselves into good positions. But I still think, as I said, when the ball's played into those areas, Shea Adams has got to gamble. He's got to be gambling in between the sticks. I think if he does that, he's likely to get his goal. But overall, listen, it's a solid performance, not exceptional, but certainly with the best team. I've been a wee bit disappointed in Callum McGregor, strangely enough. We mentioned this, his 50th cap, and he's been, you know, as Mark said, he's nearly always the guy that gets past marks, but he's been a wee bit flat. He's lost possession a couple of times. Yeah, we'll go back to the pitch is quite poor, but he's not played any of those little incisive passes that he plays when he's playing with Celtic. So that's one area I think we can improve upon a wee bit, just moving the ball forward into those Adams and Armstrong, McGinn a little bit quicker. If we do those passes a little bit sharper, a little bit quicker, then I think we'll get the second goal, and the second goal will definitely put the tie beyond the game beyond Cyprus.
John McGinn with the influential moment once again. Since Steve Clarke took charge of Scotland, no player has made more appearances, scored more goals or provided more assists than John McGinn. The half-time score here at Hampden is Scotland 1, Cyprus 0.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Andrew McLean and Jim Duffy are at a rain-soaked Hampden, which is quite something because it's completely dry in Clydebank by the looks of it out the window. But there we are, maybe it's on our way. Jim Duffy, since we are drawing distinctions between what we can see on television and what you can see at the stadium, is the pitch as bad as it looks to us here on the TV?
Yeah, I mean, I get really frustrated with the quality of this pitch. You know, I mean, it's our national stadium. You know, we see pitches all over the country, particularly down south, where they're absolute bowling greens. And you know, if we want our top team to be playing in the perfect surface, and it's not, it is slow. You're right. We know there has been a lot of rain. I understand that. But, you know, listen, there's not too many games played in this. This pitch should be in much better condition. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, we've seen a few players slipping. We saw that one with Angus Gunn, his foot just away from him. But I've seen two or three players, it's just their foot's just going away from him a little bit. And that really shouldn't be happening at this level, Gordon. Listen, the guys in the studio played in some horrendous pitches over the years. But in modern day, this pitch should be in pristine condition. And it certainly isn't.
Do you think is it playing a part in Scotland's football? Because look, it's very easy, Jim, for people to dismiss and say, it's the same for both teams and get on with it. And you'll hear a lot of, you know, back in my day, the pitches were much worse than this. You know, I do get all that. But you could see the very first time we passed the ball, it was literally a simple pass back to one of the defenders. You could just see the ball was moving very slowly.
Yeah, I mean, it's got like I said, you know, you have to adjust it, you have to put a bit more on it, there's no doubt about it, you have to zip it in, but if you want to move things like one touch and quickly and sharp, then, you know, you do have to adjust it, but, you know, you have to put a little bit more on it, so you have to think about it, and particularly playing balls, you know, those balls in behind, you're waiting it, so it does take a bit of adjusting, and I think we have adjusted to it, you know, by and large, but... Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt it should be better. You know, I think from Cyprus's point of view, they're probably quite happy because it can slow the game down a little bit. The ball doesn't move quite as slick. But, I mean, listen, it's not terrible. I'm not saying it's horrendous because it's not. But it's not at the level it should be for this this quality, you know, a competition. And that's what we're saying. And we know we've got games coming up or not. Hopefully the weather will improve over the next month or so. But certainly, I think it's had a small impact. I don't think it's been a huge impact on the standard of the game. But it definitely has had a little bit of an impact on it going out. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Second half is coming up next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.